Welcome to Business of Design. Business of Design is the world's best business training for interior design professionals like you. The Business of Design podcast offers immediate, actionable strategies and a glimpse into some of the many field-tested, proven systems you can implement to transform your business and your life. After the show, head to businessofdesign.com and get started with the BOD 15-step project management strategy and 6 foundational programs. Together, they deliver the systems, procedures, and strategies you need to run a successful, highly profitable design business. There's no theory here. The complete BOD business model is yours through Business of Design membership. Business of Design. There's only one. And now, your BOD Advocate-in-Chief, Kimberly Selden.
Well, hello, you fabulous interior design professional. I am so glad you're here. This is Business of Design, of course. You know that. You tuned in, and I'm glad you did. Or you're watching us on YouTube. Either way, I have been thinking about what makes someone an expert recently. I do know this. It is not how many years you've been in business. It's not how many clients you've served. And it's not even about remembering to say the right thing when you are standing in front of your clients. What is it? Well, I'm going to tell you. At least I'm going to tell you my rambling thoughts for the day for today on that subject. Before I do that, though, I do want to say this. This is episode 369. This is a solo episode talking about Be the Expert. And we're going to hear some quick announcements from Cheryl Horn. And then I am going to launch like a rocket into this short episode. Episode. Yes, let's say it that way. Short episode. I'll see you right after announcements with Cheryl.
Well, I will keep it short today. But for right now, we just want everyone to save the date. Coming up in October, Business of Design is celebrating 20 years. Business of Design launched in 2004. So we are so excited to celebrate this with you. And we will be at High Point Saturday, October 26th. We have stuff going on all day. So block that day. Join us. We have a seminar series running from 10 to 1 in partnership with Daniel House Club, 3 different showrooms. We are going to be talking about growing profitability with vendors, ignoring the budget and specifying better products, and why design fees are not enough. So join us for that seminar series. And then at 3:00, we are going to be on stage with Andmore at the Suites at Market Square, and we are going to be sharing 20 musts for your business, 20 things that Kimberly has learned over the last 20 years of both running her design business as well as teaching Business of Design and working with all of you. That's going to be followed by a big party celebration. Join us, meet Team BOD, and celebrate your business, our business, and everything that we've accomplished together. So for right now, just save that date. Again, October 26th at High Point Market. I did set up a registration, not a registration, an RSVP online. You do need to register with High Point Market to attend. We just want to know who's coming. If you're a longtime member, if you're a boss member, longtime podcast listener, we just want to know who's going to be there. We'd love to match up some faces with names that we've gotten to know over these years. So let us know if you are planning to attend, and we are so excited to see you there. Make sure you save the date.
Lots happening at Business of Design. This is just so exciting for us, I can't tell you. All right, now I have been thinking recently a lot about what makes someone an expert, in part because Business of Design is coming up on a big birthday, 20 years in business. I cannot believe it. That means that I have been in business as an interior design professional working with clients more than 20 years, actually closer to 30 years now. And I've learned a few things in the past 20 years. One of the things I've learned is the importance of being the expert. Ah, sounds so easy, doesn't it? It's not that easy. I also know that for many people, they have this false idea that if they are just apply themselves, if they work harder, if they stay in the game longer, they will become an expert. Or if they service X number of clients, they will automatically become an expert. But the reality is that does not make you an expert. It didn't make me an expert. I didn't have the answers I needed when clients asked the most important questions, and that definitely undermined any feelings I had of self-confidence. There's no question about it. Expertise, I think, begins with mindset. And we talk a lot about mindset at Business of Design. In fact, we have courses about money mindset, which I think are essential to you if you are struggling to be profitable, or if you wish you could be more profitable, or if you wish you could work with higher-end clients. That's an essential course I hope you'll take. Expertise begins with mindset. If I develop the mindset of an expert, I am going to become an expert. I think of it similarly to how I think about a set of blueprints or drawings when I'm going to build a brand new house for a client. These drawings are in place and they represent what's going to happen in the future. The drawings are not reality. They don't exist yet, right? But they're not a lie either. They're a projection or a manifestation of what's going to happen in the future. If I create the right set of plans, the reality of what I want to realize, this beautiful new house, is going to come true. The house is going to be built to my specifications. But if I create poor plans or plans that show continuous thought changes, right? Maybe I'll do this. Oh no, maybe I'll do that. Perhaps we should try this. That house may not be built exactly representing what I hope to create. In other words, the house is going to be a mess, right? My thoughts are like those plans. It's really important that I craft my thoughts and I hone my thoughts and I don't let my thoughts wander too far afield. I never know if I make any sense when I do these podcasts, but let me just keep running with this a little bit. I guess I'm thinking about the number of times that I have met really talented interior design professionals. I mean, just the project images are beautiful, they're so hardworking, but clearly they are not successful. And I mean successful by their own definition, and or I'm going to say, if you're not profitable, you're not successful. You can't run a business and be not profitable and be successful. Those two things can't coexist. It's just not true. When I work with someone like that and I coach them one-on-one, it's really satisfying because it doesn't take me very long to figure out where the problem is. Where is their self-doubt getting in the way of making changes that would, in fact, have them feeling like an expert? They definitely don't feel like an expert, right? When they're struggling like that, they feel exhausted, and frequently they feel abused or taken advantage of. And trust me when I tell you, I know exactly what that feels back, or what that feels like, rather. Having trouble with the English language today, but that's okay. I really believe with all my heart you are going to become whatever you think you're going to become. And it's so much more satisfying to do the work of the interior design professional when you feel like an expert. Believe me, I know. I spent a decade feeling like I just didn't have what it takes. And then I've spent the last 20 years feeling like, oh my gosh, I got this. I am large and in charge. And my clients like me and I can make them happy. Years and years ago, and I know I've talked about this many, many times, I took this seminar in New York City with a guy named Blair Enns, and I came away with this amazing mantra that he shares. And the mantra is this: I am the expert. I am the prize to be won. I am on a mission to help. I can only help if I lead, and all will not follow, and that's okay. As I think about whatever this elusive task of becoming an expert looks like, I am really struck by the catch-22 of that mantra. When I share this with other interior design professionals through Business of Design at live events or through the membership, during the one-on-one coaching, whatever, no one ever has trouble with the first two lines, right? I'm an expert, I'm the prize, and I am on a mission to help. I've never met an interior design professional who wasn't really keen to satisfy her clients or his clients and make them happy. But all kinds of mishigas happens when we get to that third line. I can only do that. I can only help, right? We're referring back to the mantra. I can only do that. I can only help if you let me lead. I have to lead. And there it is. If you want to lead, you really should be the expert. But if you don't feel like an expert, you're going to have trouble leading. That sounds like a loop to me. And it was certainly a loop that I was stuck in for many, many years. How did I get out of the loop? Oh, forgive me if you've heard me say this before. I know you have. Systems. Oh my gosh. Systems are the solution. I got out of the loop by developing and relying on tried and true systems. Some of those systems helped me run my business and others helped me run my projects. Two very different enterprises, right? To run my business, I need all kinds of systems. For instance, I need accounting systems. I need hiring systems. I need marketing systems. I need systems that help me manage my employees. Those are all extremely important systems. And they have, you know, dozens and dozens and hundreds of fine points that have to be negotiated and figured out. But to run projects, I need different systems. Right? I need procurement systems, project management systems, deficiency systems, filing systems. Oh my gosh, systems, 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 systems. With a system in place, though, I have one less thing to think about, one less thing to agonize over. How am I going to handle deficiencies? Oh, I know. Just exactly like it says here on page, 88 of my operations manual, how to handle deficiencies, or on page 3 of my contract. Oh, this is how we handle deficiencies, right? I don't have to panic when a client asks me a question like that, or asks me those two questions that I was so afraid of hearing. How much is this going to cost, right? And how long is this going to take? And okay, there's more questions. What are your design fees going to be? How much are your design fees going to add up to be? And what's going to happen if one of your trades makes a mistake? And on and on and on and on. When a client asks me one of these questions today, for example, how much is this project going to cost? I have a system for giving that client an exact answer. And when the client asks me, how long is this project going to take? I have a system for giving that client an exact answer. When the client asks me what happens when one of my trades makes a mistake, I have a system. I have an answer. I became the expert slowly over time because I had to develop the systems as I went. And there was a lot of trial and error. We spent a decade in trial and error, and it was challenging. But with every incremental positive system I implemented, I began to feel mastery over that element or that task that we had resolved. It definitely won't take you as long as it took me, I promise, because you have a roadmap, you have access to systems, protocols, strategies that have literally been field tested by thousands of other interior design professionals around the world. And in fact, all of those systems are in my own operations manual, which I use all the time. And they're also in the operations manual that we sell through Business of Design. And you know what? I'm just going to dig in here because why not? I am going to make a pitch for membership. I know and I can guarantee that Business of Design will radically, dramatically improve your business and your life if you join us. If you take the courses, if you implement what you learn, I know your world is going to be rocked in the most positive way. So many times I meet someone who says, I've been listening to the podcast for years. And I say, well, thank you. That's so nice. But you are not getting the full story. You're getting little nuggets, but you don't have the systems. If you're not yet a member, I really, really hope you will consider joining us. We have some ambitious work that we would like to do for the industry. For example, we would like to transform how interior design students are taught. And we're unable to accomplish those projects without your support. Your support means that we can host a podcast like this and have almost no sponsorship. From time to time, we have a sponsor. If we are working with someone we just know 100% is on board with helping the interior design professional. If I think they're good for my business, then I think they're good for your business. We use your support to help us get to High Point, for example, and throw a big birthday party in October. And we hope you'll come. It's free. There's going to be food. There's going to be drinks. There's going to be prizes, prizes, prizes. And you will never meet a better, more amazing group of interior design friends than you will through Business of Design. I promise This is the support group that you need and you deserve. So I do hope you will join today. I hope you will really take it serious. And I really hope that you will think about making this year right now your best year ever, the year that you decided to become the expert. You know, I have been using my 15-step project management strategy for so long. I am practically rewired. I say practically, but not quite. You know, that hard wiring that we had growing up is really hard to override. So if I'm not talking about the systems, if I'm not teaching other people how to use the systems, occasionally I will slip back into old behaviors. And those old behaviors put my business in jeopardy. There's no question about it. They also put my mental health at risk. I know some of you are thinking, oh, Kimberly, the drama. So let me tell you a story. If I can, there's a million of them. So which one? I don't know. But let me tell you a story that illustrates why I say that relying on systems is good for your mental health. I'm trying to dig back to the way back. I know exactly which one I'm going to tell you, the Wayback Machine. I know exactly which one I'm going to tell you. It was a system that launched my need, my absolute need to transform how I handled collections with clients. Years and years and years ago. Well, this was before I ever thought business of design was not even a seed of an idea at this point. So I had these clients, lovely, lovely couple, beautiful home, multi-million dollar home. It was just, it, by all accounts, it just seemed like a wonderful job, and they were wonderful people. And back then, my policy around collecting deposits and invoices was something like this. When we placed an order for goods, we asked the clients to give us a 50% deposit. We placed the order, we delivered everything, and we collected the balance. We collected a whopping 50% after things were installed. Now, some of you are going, that's ridiculous. Okay, but you weren't around 25 years ago when this was going on. And when nobody, and I mean nobody, talked about what you charge or how to create systems that would help you be profitable. Trust me when I tell you, I was willing to pay any amount of money for some expert to help me out, and they did not exist. They're few and far between today as well. There are a lot of people out there posing, but quite honestly, they're few and far between. So anyway, don't judge is what I'm trying to say. That's how it was. Anyway, we installed this house, and the total amount of goods that we purchased on behalf of these clients was $400,000. Why do I remember that all these years later? Well, I remember it because we got a deposit of $200,000 and the clients owed me $200,000. My husband and I were a young married couple with babies. I didn't have $200,000 in the bank. My business was not yet profitable and we were just starting out. And so here's what happened. We delivered all the furniture and it looked beautiful and the clients were thrilled and we hugged it out. It wasn't a turnkey experience like I do today, but it was over a certain period of time. Everything was installed. It looked beautiful. It was finally time to ask for the balance of payment. And the client said, no problem. Absolutely. Get you a check immediately. I will ask my husband, I will ask him to send you a check from the office. And I said, great, amazing. I had no reason to doubt that I would receive a check. So I just, you know, went on my merry way. Anyway, some days went by, and maybe it was even a week because I wasn't in the habit of staying on top of things back then. And I realized we hadn't received a check. That seems really odd. They're so lovely. Must be something wrong. So I phone the client. I'm struggling. I don't want to say her name because it's an unusual name and I wouldn't want to give it away. Although why not? Quite honestly. Anyway, Sydney is her name. No one's going to know her. And if she hears this, she did this. Sydney. So Sydney said, I just wonder what Cheryl's thinking right now. Kimberly, you can't say that. Anyway, Sydney. Sydney said, I'm so sorry. I can't believe it. I thought for sure that my husband sent the check. Let me find out what's going on. A few days go by. I phone again. Oh, he just forgot. He's going to send it right away. Great. Another week goes by. No check. You know what's happening now. I am now chasing these clients in the most humiliating way possible, practically begging to be paid for items that are sitting in their home. And back then, I didn't have much markup on things, so there was no profitability in any of this for me. This was hard costs, and I needed to pay my suppliers. So this little game went on and on until finally, it had to be 6, 7 weeks later. The clients, you know what? We're off to Aspen with the kids for a week. And when I get back, we'll deal with it, kind of in a pissy kind of a way. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. Have a good time in Aspen. So I went to Aspen. They came back. And then I called again. How was your trip? It was amazing. You know what I was like, right? I wasn't like, you owe me money, give me money, or I'm going to take your car, right? I was like, how was Aspen? Was it great? Oh my gosh, I hate to bother you, but do you mind paying me the $200,000 you've owed me for close to 2 months? Anyway, she said, listen, really sorry. My husband says he's not going to pay that much. He wants to talk to you about a couple of things. What things? I don't know. I've got to drive to their house and have a meeting. So it turns out really what he wanted to do is just negotiate what he owed me. There was really nothing wrong. He was able to point to a couple of things he was unhappy with. And this is my favorite. It was a sofa in the family room. And he was pointing at the stitching on the arm of the sofa. And one of the stitches was slipped. And he said he wanted that fixed before he was going to pay me. And I remember standing there just like shaking. I was so upset and so angry. And I said, you're telling me that you're going to withhold $200,000 from me, money that you owe me, because of a slip stitch on the sofa. That is the conversation we had. I left that meeting. Of course, I was bawling my eyes out. We didn't even have cell phones, I don't think, back then. I don't remember being able to call anyone. Got home, told my husband it was humiliating, humiliating. How would you let this happen? We don't have $200,000. What are we going to do? La, 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 la. So luckily my husband had somebody in his company who did collections, and we were able to turn it over to that person. And I ultimately did get paid. It's hilarious. This is a total side story. We have no idea what that person said to this couple, but it must have been powerful because they paid me immediately. This guy worked for my husband's company for a long time, and you just sent him after someone who owed money and you got the money immediately. He disappeared one day and we're like, okay, he got whacked. We're sure he got whacked. But anyway, that was kind of a dream. I did get paid, is the long and short of it, but not after some really degrading and humiliating conversations. And that was the problem really that kicked off the need I had to really powerfully change and improve my business. So that's why all the drama, because that was really one of the lowest points of my business. And I honestly, truly thought about quitting. I came very close to quitting. I know a lot of you know this, but I had my own television show on HGTV. It was back to back with Martha. I was super fancy. Everybody knew who I was in the country and blah, 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 blah. So I came really close to quitting and thinking I'm just going to do TV. But instead, what happened is I was able to fill the gap in my collections policy by creating a system. And that system meant I would never, ever, ever have to chase clients for money again. I mean, that's a pretty good system, right? To feel confident that I will be paid 100% of the time, no matter what happens, is pretty good. So I fixed that one system related to money. And then over the years, I fixed other systems, and as I fixed other problems with systems, and then those things became part of my contract, the contract that protects me, and it keeps me from ever having to be in that position again. I know you really want to make your clients happy. I do too. I often think, wouldn't it be wonderful if we cared half as much for ourselves as we do for our clients? You know, what if I were unwilling to sacrifice my own well-being to make a client happy? What would that look like? And the truth is, I think it looks a lot like expertise. For some reason, This other kind of early project is coming to mind. It's a very short story, so I'll tell you it as well. I had a client years and years ago who took the liberty of modifying the contract I sent him. I really wanted the project, and so I accepted his modifications. Why not? I probably don't have to tell you that the project was a disaster. How honestly could it be any other way? There isn't an expert alive who would allow the person hiring them to tell them how to run their business, right? You would never go to the heart surgeon and say, listen, I know you think you want to run the surgery like this, but I got a better idea. And I'm going to tell you what it should cost too, right? The way that the project begins is absolutely the way the project ends. And this project started with the client thinking he was more of an expert in how to run an interior design project than I was. And recently, the same exact thing happened to someone I was coaching, and we talked about some of the gaps in her own policies and procedures that if she fixed them would eliminate this issue in future. And first of all, super easy, never send a client a Word document, right? A contract is always a PDF. Of course, they can still mark it up, but it makes it a little bit more difficult to do that. Secondly, never, never, never negotiate the terms of your contract with a client. I can't think of a circumstance, if you have a quality contract, where the client should be dictating terms to you. You are the expert. You are the prize. And finally, if you begin your relationship on this footing where the client is telling you how to run your business, there is almost no possibility the project is going to end harmoniously, right? You have to stand your ground. You are at your peak power at the beginning of the client designer relationship. And if there is ever a time to push back and stand your ground, it would be at the very beginning of the relationship. Failing to do so means your project is going to launch on really shaky ground. I'm kind of not wired that way, right? I'm kind of wired to go like, I can be a little flexible. I can give in. But today I fight that hard wiring by relying on systems. Be the expert. You want to be the expert, right? So be the expert. Practice being the expert. I love yoga. I talk about yoga all the time. They never say, come to yoga and be a master at yoga. They say, come and practice yoga, right? Yoga is a mindset and it's a mastery and it's a discipline. Expertise is exactly like that. It's a mindset, it's a mastery, and it's a discipline. I am the expert. I am the prize. I am on a mission to help. I can only do that if you let me lead, and all will not follow. That's okay. I understand, I really do, that taking the lead on projects can be scary, right? Especially if you feel unprotected at various points in your projects. You know, maybe you don't feel like you have the information you need or the resources you need or the strength you need. But once you have processes and you put them in place and they're implemented, you will have systems to support and direct the decisions you make on the job site on a daily basis. And I cannot tell you how liberating it feels to take the lead. It feels so good. I went from thinking I was going to quit the business and I hated so much of the business of interior design to today loving this business, loving my role as the lead on projects. It's okay that not every client will let you be the lead. You don't have to work with those clients. I know today that I do my very best work, the work that sustains me financially and it satisfies my soul, when I work only with my ideal client. The client who appreciates the work I do, sees the value in the services I provide, the client who lets me be the expert by taking the lead. That is a privileged position to be in. There's no question. If you're just starting out and you desperately need the work, I get it. You're going to take whatever jobs come your way. That's okay. But implement the systems you need and you will groom those clients and you will begin to attract the right client, the ideal client to you. Be the expert. That's what I want to talk about today. Never know what I'm going to talk about on these podcasts, but I tell you what I do know. I'm very, very grateful to you. I'm so grateful that you have been here to support us during these past 20 years. My gosh, where did the time go? And I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting you in person one day. If you haven't put High Point on your calendar for October, please do come to the birthday party. More importantly, please join Business of Design. We need you and we want you. Thanks everybody for being here. Till next time.
Thanks for listening and supporting the BOD mission to improve the industry one design business at a time. If you're ready to implement an exact business model for running a streamlined, profitable business, field tested by thousands of design professionals around the world, head to businessofdesign.com and get started today. It's time to dramatically improve your business and transform your life.